Hello, everyone. Welcome to a cool episode. Another cool episode. A always cool episode. I don't know how to introduce to us anymore. I think it's just too hot right now. Episode of Retro Rewatch. That's the long story for that. The show where we rewatch retro TV shows and then we talk about that. And when I say we, of course, I have my podcasting partner in crime with me, Jeff Gamet, with an awesome t-shirt. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patrice, and I'm glad you like my t-shirt.
Yes, and we have to talk about that at the end of the show. Like, we have to mention where people can get that. That's important.
We can do that. Also, before we get any farther into this, you know, I went to Mac Stock conference.
Yes.
And so we haven't talked about that.
No.
And I got to meet several of our listeners. And everyone is awesome. And
very cool.
And Brian, who does that amazing spreadsheet that we're referencing for all of our scores, got to spend some time with him.
Aww.
And it was awesome.
I'm jealous.
That's fair. I was going to say you don't need to be, but I appreciate why you would be jealous because you would want to be there as well.
Yeah, get to meet all those awesome people and like say thank you to Brian for the awesome spreadsheet that he provided where we can always see like that season 4 literally was worse for us than season 2 even.
Yes. So,
and season 2 was very good for us. So yeah, I hope season 5 is better. But maybe our standards have changed. Like it's always possible that that's part of the reason.
Yeah. Well, like I said on social media in one of the chats we were having with a viewer or listener.
Yeah.
I think it was even Brian. It might have been Brian.
I think it was even Brian.
The problem we have is that the quality of the show has continued to improve. So it's raising the bar higher all the time for what counts as an average episode in the series.
I think that is part of it. So we have become a little bit more critical because we expect more from the show now than we did in, season 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So let's see if today's episode of Stargate SG-1 is, in fact, better than the average. We're talking about Season 5, Episode 3, Ascension.
Ah, okay.
So we're ascending somewhere. We had some really cool predictions from you.
Right. Man, I've so nailed it on this one. Oh, wait, nailed it doesn't mean what I think it means.
You don't think it... Okay, interesting.
Yeah, because nailed it's supposed to mean got it right.
Yes.
And I did not nail it.
So, I'll tell people what you predicted just to that everybody remembers, and then we'll talk later what you got actually right. So you said, this goes back to the Tollens. The Earth relationship with them is elevated because Earth comes once again to their rescue. So solidification of their relationship. Earth is seen as a legit force in the Goa'uld fight. Ascension of humans onto the level of the Tollens and Asgard related to the fifth race. And alternatively, but less likely, it's a Tok'ra-related story, a major upheaval in the Tok'ra relationship, and Jacob is now in charge of the Tok'ra, and Jacob is ascending to the council. Yes. We'll talk about that at the end. It's an interesting story. Now, it's not the one we got, I think.
as you relay back to me what I predicted, these actually sound like a couple interesting stories. I'd like to see those.
They do sound like interesting stories, and maybe like we'll see if we get to that, or if we need to submit scripts to who owns it, Amazon now, so that we maybe finally get a Stargate show.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome. So, let's start with some production stuff. We have a air date for this very show, as always, July 13th, 2001. So, middle of summer. In Germany, it was on RTL2, as usually, May 8th, 2002. There's a German title that I did not relate to you, and I'm still wondering about it. You will hear why in a second, because the title is Das Opfer, the sacrifice. And I'm like, why? I mean, maybe the guy sacrifices himself at the end or something, and that's
but
why.
But he doesn't really.
Yeah,
maybe
kind
the
of
sacrifice
does.
Was sacrificing his ascended state to save the people that actually are all extinct anyhow.
Maybe. But is it? What were the Germans thinking? I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, he's not sacrificing for anyone currently in that episode.
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe at the end he sacrifices his life for Carter's, but that's a stretch, to be honest.
Yeah, because he doesn't actually die.
Well, I mean, but he doesn't know that, right? That he would get another chance and would be allowed to ascend again. But he did.
Oh, that's true.
He did not know.
Yeah, that's true. He finds out after he does his selfless act. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
So, but as I said, even that stretch. IMDb rating is a respectable 7.6, as little as that actually means, because we've already established that sometimes highly rated shows are kind of meh, and sometimes the shows are low rated, and we're like, well, why? This is actually a good episode. So, who knows what we got this time? I mean, we know we've watched it already. Written by Robert C. Cooper and directed by Martin Wood. So, the standard crew that we have. Good, good, solid people for those credits. We do have some cool people as guest stars, and some very cool people as guest stars. So let's start with the main actor. Sean Patrick Flannery plays Orlin. Of course, not seen him before. Known for The Boondock Saints and Powder. Two, I think, movies, 1999 and 1995.
Okay.
Never heard of that. But I've seen his face somewhere, so I think somewhere I've seen him. Then we have the, I think, fourth Star Trek character that comes on the show with John DeLancey as Colonel Frank Simmons.
And I was quite surprised when I saw Q walk on,
on Q set. Yeah, Q is on set. Yeah, of course, played Q in Star Trek Next Generation and Picard later on. So, and some other stuff. He's a well-known actor.
Lower Decks. He was
Lower
Q
Decks.
In Lower Decks.
Oh, it's
too.
True. He was on there too. Yeah. So he's the fourth character after Armin Shimerman, after Dwight Schultz, after... Marina Sirtis. And I think he's number five even, because we got Odo as well.
Right.
He's number five.
Was in there.
He's even number five, not number four. I'm just pulling that number from my behind, I guess. He's number five.
You did a great job. You were pretty darn close.
close enough. Off by one. Typical.
This is where it'd be completely inappropriate to say, well done, nice butt.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So number five actors from Star Trek have been on the show. Probably not the last one. We have Terrell Rothery as Dr. Janet Frazier, of course. Last seen in last episode in Threshold, of course. We have Eric Breaker as Colonel Albert Reynolds. First appearance as this character. Is known for the X-Files, for Smallville, for X-Men Origins, Wolverine, for Godzilla, Scary Movie 3. So quite a sheet there. We have Ben Wilkinson as O'Brien, known for The Adam Project, Deadpool, Grave Encounters 2. And then we have Rob Fournier as Special Forces Commander, last seen as a Malt Gunner in Season 3, Episode 10, Forever in a Day.
So, okay.
Gets another credit here. Some interesting stuff. We have a mini Stargate prop that was really cool and I really liked, and I would have liked to have that at home.
Prop. Yeah.
It's a one-time only prop. They made a decision to never use that again for some reason. It was never intended for reuse. A one-show-only affair, Joseph Malozzi called it. So I don't know why, but that was never done again.
Maybe because toasters are expensive?
Maybe. Microwaves and toasters are expensive.
Microwaves and toasters, yep.
Yes. The casting of Colonel Reynolds is notable because Eric Brecker was cast as Colonel Reynolds specifically for his experience with military roles and his ability to convey authority needed for a senior Stargate team leader. So,
okay.
Carter's house was filled with actual belongings of Amanda Tapping. So that was actual stuff that belonged to her. Many of the photos and items that we see are actual personal belongings of Amanda Tapping, including family photos and gifts from fans. It was also filmed on location in North Vancouver, so it wasn't a shed. It wasn't a set. Shed. It was maybe a shed. No, it wasn't a set. It was actual location.
All right, related to her home.
Yeah.
The scenes where we see her bookshelf in the background, I absolutely love. If you haven't paused to read what's on her bookshelf, you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
It is just wonderful.
Yeah, and I would guess that she either it were her books or she had a say in that one.
Some of them might have been her books, but certainly a lot of them were there because they would be the kind of books that that Carter would have on the shelves. Like there's a book about the Clipper chip,
yeah,
which dates the TV series because that was back when the United States government was trying to mandate a surveillance chip be in every computer.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. Spoiler: didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Yes, fortunately. Also notable is the vehicle collection that we see, right? She drives up to her apartment or her house in a vintage car of some sorts. Someone else would probably know what it was exactly, but I know about nothing about cars, especially vintage cars. But Amanda Tapping described Sam Carter as owning a 1940s Indian motorcycle, a 1964 one beautiful mint vintage Volvo, and she's got a Harley in her garage that she's working on. So that was her words.
Well, and we do have a scene in a previous episode where she's working on her motorcycle.
She is.
In Stargate Command.
Yes. And I think if I remember correctly, we speculated on how she even got it down there. But
yes, we did.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say the easiest way would be to use Stargates, but no, that would mean she needed a Stargate outside of Stargate Command.
Yeah, maybe she built one in her basement.
It could happen.
Could happen, right? Yeah. So far, so much for behind the scenes stuff or interesting things that I wanted to mention. I have three more, but I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Should we jump in?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, what did I just do? Just click the button here. So we start on some planet. I noted it down. Some planet that's destroyed. So like there's a nice shot, like some matte painting probably or something, of a planet, a lot of destroyed buildings and stuff. Looks very alien, but kind of also familiar. Right? It's not super alien. It's more like it looks different and you know this is not Earth, but it's also familiar in a way. There's a star. There's SG-1 there. SG-16 is coming through to set up the UAV, they say. So I guess too much to look at. We get a little bit of Tiki-Wiki, because, of course, he has this episode again. Not much to say.
Oh, wait, Teal'c was in this one?
Teal'c was in this one, yes. He got this line in. He says, it appears the inhabitants of this city lost the great battle and were destroyed long ago. There appears to be no survivors. Thank you, Tilgwiki.
Yeah.
Daniel is complaining or is talking about that he cannot read a language. Like, that language from that planet, he cannot read. Or not yet, at least.
Yeah.
Which is new, because usually he can read anything. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, this is related to whatever, and he can read everything. Nope, not this time. There is some sort of obelisk or something that he's reading on. It's a different design than the rest of the civilization, very clearly. Mm-hmm. And Jack is impatient. He's like, okay, how long will it take? And then it's like, oh, I mean, days, weeks, months, maybe, of meticulous, tedious, boring tediousness.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
like, it's going to take a while. So apparently Daniel also doesn't enjoy it that much, because if he calls it tedious, then, yeah. He's then usually Mr. Boring, so.
Yeah, so yeah. It's definitely tedious.
Yes. So Jack and Tilk go to Carter, who's inside a building of some sort. She doesn't know what the building and the device in it is either. And Jack again is like, how long is it going to take? 2 hours? And she's like, it's very advanced tech.
Jack clearly wants things to happen quickly.
Yes, he's like, he's impatient. Yeah. I think he's bored. He's like, okay, there's nothing to do here. It's like boring, like sciencey stuff. He's like, okay, can we go now? I gotta watch some TV somewhere.
You're right.
And Teal probably as well. So Jack and Teal, I called it go out and conquer. They will just go and explore. But Jack has important words for Carter. He's like, do not turn it on.
And she's like, don't. Okay. Okay, I won't.
Don't turn it on. Which is, I think, good advice, because, yeah, they have a tendency to just press buttons. The device has crystals that look somewhat familiar, so the tech is not completely alien.
Yeah, they did look like the gold crystal things.
Yeah. All of a sudden, there's wind that wasn't there before. And we get this nice effect where something is floating around, watching Carter, approaching her.
Yeah, something that sees in sepia tones.
Yes, and slightly blurry at the corners.
Yeah, so clearly they have vision issues.
Yeah, because, exactly.
You know, it's blurry and they're at least partially colorblind, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So Daniel called for Carter and she doesn't respond. So he goes into the building to check on her, and she's lying there on the floor, unconscious. And that is the opener.
Yeah, well.
So what were your thoughts, like, seeing this? Like, what were you thinking? Were you intrigued?
Well, the setup they gave us leading up to, like, oh no, Sam's unconscious. The setup told me they were going to do something like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was, but and we've seen this a couple other times where it's tedious, mundane, boring. They're letting us know this is just another off world, you know, tag it and go sort of mission for them.
Yeah.
And, but those aren't the missions we get to see on the
show.
Exactly.
Usually we wouldn't get to see those. I mean, they've done those, but we've never seen them. Or no, we've never seen them, because that's not an interesting story to tell.
You're right. Yeah. So we get the floaty, we're seeing Sam thing. And I'm like, oh no, they're going to do another alien possesses Sam story. Oh. Well,
yeah, fortunately not.
Fortunately not. So yeah. I know what I was supposed to feel.
Yeah.
Which is, oh no, what's wrong with Sam?
Yeah.
And how did they fix it, sort of thing. But yeah. Instead I was like, oh no, not another. I don't want another Sam ghost possession thing. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had too many of those. That's true. Yeah. I thought, but I think it's a good opener. There's some intrigue, like an advanced civilization, but like advanced stuff in which mixed in with like more mundane stuff, a language that Daniel can't read, something floating around and something happening to Carter, and a lot of, well, it's a dead civilization, so something clearly happened.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but what? Yeah. Will we figure it out? Will it be like something that also threatens the human, like Earth or whatever? We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know.
So we go back to, of course, SGC, to the infirmary. And Frazier's there, Carter's there, and Carter's like, next thing you know, I'm waking up with Colonel O'Neill looking down at me. I suppose it's possible I touched something inside the device. Didn't he say, don't turn... No, he did. He said, don't turn it on.
Don't turn it on.
Yeah. Frazier thinks maybe she's fatigued. She's slightly anemic. Or she was slightly anemic pre-mission. And I'm like, yeah, women have that sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's like, okay. I'm not sure why she didn't think so, but... Okay.
Well, maybe she didn't think it was a big deal.
Well, or maybe she would have known
that she's back.
No, I mean, it was clearly not a big deal, right? Because otherwise she wouldn't have gotten clearance to go, right? If it was something that she was concerned about, then she would have been like, we should maybe check this out first. So it was not something of concern back then, but maybe now it is. When Frazier's like, at least consider what you've been through the last few years. You've had a Tok'ra symbiote in your die in your brain. Your memory has been stamped, and your entire consciousness has been transferred out of your body into a computer and back again. And that's just for starters. Eventually, it has to take its toll. And she's right. There's lots that happened to Sam.
Yes. And I like that this is in there, because even though we do have a continuity through stories, talking about this, I mean, that's actually really important, because these people are dealing with stuff that over time it'd make anyone snap.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that was not even everything that happened. I can probably come up with a bunch of other things that happened to Sam. So I'm like,
she got sold to a Genghis Khan guy in the second episode. And
yeah, I mean, she got duplicated by aliens.
Right. She had to watch her own android doppelganger die.
Yeah, true.
She got trapped in basically a holodeck simulation where she had to relive Daniel's trauma over and over.
True. Yeah. So yeah, there's so much. There's really so much. Next thing that happens is, of course, we have to go to our favorite room, which is the exposition room.
Yep.
Because now that we have all that information, we need to know what's going to happen next.
Right. Yeah.
So Daniel explains that the structure was built about 400 years ago. So the new structure, whereas the civilization may date back as far as 3000. So it may indicate the society developed in relative isolation and was only later influenced by something that suddenly led to a leap to more advanced technology. What could that be?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe a Stargate. I think they also think so. Which means it's likely they either discovered it or figured out how to use it just prior to building the device. It would seem to me that these events led to the cataclysm which ended their society. Yeah, I think that is a good guess, Daniel.
Considering it's totally spot on.
So what is the device? Is it some sort of observatory? All Jack thinks it's a big honking space gun. That's what he says.
Jack wants a big honking space gun.
He does want a big honking. I mean, he's in the military, so of course he does. And Carter's like, well, whatever it is, the power core is missing. I was able to determine that much before I... We get the introduction of Major Reynolds from Area 51. He's been transferred from Area 51 and will be leading SG-16 during its long-term analysis of the planet. So they have long-term plans with this planet now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm not sure it's worth that, but to have an entire team, but hey, maybe. Who knows?
Well, I mean, if they think that this might be a useful weapon.
Yeah, and maybe there's other technology, right? I mean, it might not be the only thing. Okay, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carter thinks an aquatic generator could maybe power it, but Hammond is very cautious. He wants Carter to join the mission of SG-16. He's like, we know what can happen, and it could explode and stuff like that. No, actually, Carter wants to join the mission. Never mind. Carter wants to join the mission.
I'm sorry. Hammond, I thought that's what you said.
No. Hammond is cautious. Carter wants to join the mission, but Hammond denies it. Because he's like, Dr. Jackson will be assisting in the translation of the alien language until SG-1's next mission. Otherwise, you're all free to take some time off. Dismissed.
He has the nicest way of saying, take a break, that's an order.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what he says. Yeah, and I think given what just happened, probably a good idea. Carter thinks mm-hmm. she's fine. She doesn't need rest. and Hammond is like, Major, I have no doubt that your technical expertise will be required at some point down the line. But until Dr. Fraser advises otherwise, I'm ordering you to take it easy. Okay, for the people on the cheap seats in the back, take a freaking break.
Now you got it. Yeah.
Yes. Carter is not happy with that because she complains to Jack. She's like, take it easy. And Jack is like, yeah, you've been a little tense. And Carter's like, tense? Me? I'm not tense, am I? And then she's like, when did you first notice?
and he's like, when we met.
When we met, exactly. Yeah. But here's the problem, why she was hesitant. And we knew this from her. She doesn't have much else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Last couple of times when Jack offered to like take her to the lake and like relax a little bit, her idea of relaxing was working on a motorcycle, building an aquatic generator, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So not relaxing.
Jack
has some ideas like take up golf, fly a kite, knit something. That's his ideas of what she could do.
Bless his heart. At least he's coming up with ideas.
Yeah, he has more and better ideas than I think Carter has.
Yeah.
They might not be the right ideas, but he has them.
Yeah, at least he has them. Yep.
Yeah. So that concludes this part, and we move to Carter's house. I think so far we've only seen Daniel's apartment, Jack's house.
Mm-hmm.
We've not seen where Carter lives.
We've seen General Hammond's kitchen and backyard.
Yes, that's true, with his nieces, right? Yeah, we've seen that. We've not seen where Carter lives. We know where Teal'c lives. So.
Yeah.
So. So, she has a nice house, I have to say. It's a nice, quiet.
The part of the house that didn't feel like Carter to me, in her kitchen, mm-hmm. there's like antique china plates on display.
maybe it was a gift from her dad or something. No, or from her mom, or I don't think Jacob would have.
Yeah, I don't think that came from Jacob.
Yeah, or maybe from her grandma, like something like that.
Yeah, sure.
You never know. So she arrives in an old car, as we talked about before.
Yeah, and it did look like an old Volvo to me.
Maybe it was an old Volvo. That's it. I don't know. I could not tell an old Volvo from an old Ford. I don't know.
For me, only because I've owned Volvos in the past.
Okay.
I do have a little more familiarity with some of the older Volvo designs.
Yeah. I mean, for me, a Volvo is like maybe 80s or 90s. That's old for me.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, that still counts as an old Volvo.
True. But they're more memorable. They're boxy design. So she checks her answering machine because, yes, we're in the early 2000s where people still have answering machines.
Okay, the funny thing with the answering machine was that she goes over to it and she starts hitting buttons. And I'm like,
what the hell is she doing?
What kind of remote terminal is that?
I mean, it wasn't even an answering machine.
And then messages start coming out. And I'm like, wait, oh, holy crap, answering machine.
Yeah. Yes. But she does have no new messages. The answering machine tells her. The same floaty thing is watching her. We get to see her do mundane things. She's like in the bathroom. She's brushing her teeth. And she thinks she felt something. She's like, okay. It's like, weird.
Yeah, and I'm still on the, oh man, a ghost thing. Come on.
Yeah. And then it's bedtime. She goes to bed. Someone is watching her, and I wrote down creepy.
Yeah.
So the next morning, she goes outside to pick up her newspaper, and there's a guy standing smack dab in the middle of the street, kind of awkwardly talking to her. It's like, hello. And he's like, creepy guy. She's like, I'm going to go inside. She tries to be friendly, but like, you know, in the friendly way of telling people to go away. It's like, she's creeped out. And he disappears. Like, I think she looks outside and he's gone.
Yeah.
And then she calls Daniel and she asks about the 636 translation, which I guess was the planet. I don't think we got a name for that, did we, before?
I don't remember. I think this is the first we hear anything about.
Yeah. And Daniel, full of sarcasm, is like, oh yes, I'm almost done. It miraculously seems to hold the key to all of the mysteries of the universe.
Yeah. Carter, and she's like, oh yeah, you just got there, didn't you?
Yeah, she's like, you just got there, you haven't started, and I should leave you alone.
And he's like, yep.
Yep. And as she turns around, there's a guy, or the guy, from the street in her kitchen. He's like, but she's like, how did you get in here? And he's like, I want to talk to you. And he's like, I followed you home last night. And she's like, creep. And then he's like, I read some of your books. I watched the television so I could learn how to speak and what to wear. Is this okay? And she's like, I think he says, but you couldn't see him. I'm Orlin and I'm from 636. Or what you call 636.
Yeah.
And then, as to confirm he's a ghost, he walks through the counter.
So now, up to the point where he walks through the counter, the way Sam is reacting to him does not feel to me like the way Sam would react. Because here's this guy that's suddenly in her house.
She is a trained military officer.
She goes to call 911.
Yeah.
And he convinces her not to do it. And this is before he walks through the counter.
Yeah.
Once he walks through the counter, then it's like, oh, okay, well, now we're dealing with weird Stargate stuff. So I can approach this differently.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to mention that the walking through solid objects. This was a visual effect combined with practical wire work and CGI layering to create this appearance of an ascended being attempting to maintain physical form. So that was a nice combination, a nice effect, I have to say.
I thought the effect was nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So I hated this, I have to say. He immediately is like, I have feelings for you. I love you.
Oh, same.
And I'm like, oh, grown. It's like, I mean, there is people like that, that basically they don't even understand it and they immediately jump to that because that's kind of what they think they should do or what they feel they should do.
Yeah, well, this is the sort of thing that I would expect a stalker to do.
Yeah, or someone very immature.
Yeah.
Yes, which, I mean, maybe in a way he is, because he's usually not.
Well, in a way, he's both of those.
It's true. It's true, yes. But she doesn't even hear it, because she's already running away.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, in that situation, her best bet is probably to get distance between her and him, because she has no idea if he's an actual threat or not.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true. So later at her house, there's tons of people there. They're scanning, they're installing cameras. Jack is there. Carter is there. She describes Orlin as average, not the clothes, so not very memorable.
Yeah, truly, his clothes.
Yeah.
I'm certain the costumer knew exactly what they're doing, because they picked nondescript bland for his clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that the phone line apparently was dead. So she ran and called a Code 3 team.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently used the old gas leak excuse for the neighbors and the local mm-hmm. authorities. I'm like, come on, everybody knows the gas leak isn't really a gas leak at this point.
Right. And if there's that many gas leaks in this neighborhood, these people would start selling their houses.
Yeah, exactly. So Jack leaves, because he's like, yeah, well, Orlin has only shown himself to her, so maybe we should go.
Mm-hmm.
And we get kind of not much happens. They're watching her from SGC.
But we do get a fun teal Klein.
We do, in a second. So I wanted to mention the surveillance camera set up was actually practical surveillance camera equipment. So they put in this house to film the scenes with where they had the monitors, also later on with Orlin, and they were actual security camera feeds that they composited into the Stargate briefing room monitors then later, of course. Like that was that was done later in post, of course. But so good for them. There's no evidence of her, and Jack says, secret friend.
With air quotes. The air quotes thing. Yeah.
So Hammond already ordered the psyche valve, which I'm like, yeah, I would probably do that too. I mean, given everything that we know, SGC that has happened and whatever, I mean, it would be understandable, to be honest.
You know, I think considering what they do, they should have a mandatory psyche eval every 6 months.
They probably do, but
this was an extra.
This was definitely an extra. So Teal'c is like, "Do you believe Major Carter has become mentally unstable?" And Jack says, "Well, no more than the rest of us."
And I love that line, and Christopher Judge is just so great, because the reaction on his face to Jack's response was just wonderful, because you can tell Teal'c is now trying to process this and sort out, is this good or bad?
Yeah, it's probably
does
a little
this
bit
say
of both.
Something bad about me?
That's it. Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Daniel has discovered that the device on 636 is a weapon. From what I've been able to decipher, the people in 636 were developing along similar technological timeline than like the time on Earth. They just discovered their Stargate when what they called the threat from the skies came, so probably Gorwald.
That seems reasonable.
Yet somehow they suddenly managed to build themselves an incredibly advanced weapon to defend themselves. So it didn't work. Well, actually it did. The monument outside the device tells a story how they destroyed the threat from the skies, and the men who built the weapon were heroes. So who destroyed them? I think we can have a guess. They destroyed themselves, probably.
Probably.
Because that's how it would happen on Earth, I guess. So back in Carter's house, they just took all the cameras away because
there's no evidence of nothing. Her imaginary stalker friend.
Exactly. And yeah. Now that the cameras are gone, Orlid is back. And Carter is not happy. Because she's like, I just came from a psych evaluation. Do you understand what that means? They thought she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is all kinds of bad. He called 636 Villona, and he says he was there for hundreds of years ago, for hundreds of years by himself. So maybe he does understand what that means.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And then he's like, my kind are capable of a level of communication that shares our innermost essence. So, telepathy?
Yeah. Or maybe a pickup line. Hey, Sam, you want to have brain sex?
Yeah, exactly. He says so as much. He's like, reading someone's mind is an invasion of privacy. So, yeah, brain sex. It's not about specific thoughts or memory. It's a sort of exchange of spirit. And brain that's sex. Why Carter... Brain sex. And that's why Carter passed out. So she got raped. Brain raped.
Holy crap, you're right.
Yeah. But he did learn that Carter is a good person with a pure heart. So he wants to connect again. And for some reason, Carter agrees.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a problem with this. Actually,
me too.
I'll just come right out and tell you now instead of at the end. I have a problem with the Carter-Orlin relationship through this whole episode.
Yes, me too. Me too. I mean, I have a problem, but I think the problem is that I think it's believable. The story is believable. It's just very problematic.
It's very problematic. I also have a hypothesis. Okay, I'm wondering if when they wrote this story originally, they wrote it as a Daniel story. And they're like, actually, we need to have another Sam story. Mm-hmm. And they changed it to Sam after they wrote the piece.
I'm not so sure. I don't know, but I'm not sure. I think this works. As I said, I think it's an interesting story.
It totally works as a Sam piece.
It's a Sam story, and I think it works for her. But as I said, the problematic part is not the writing. I think the problematic part is simply what he does and that she accepts it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he turns into a light being we've seen before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And rematerializes Nevrod way too close to her.
Yeah.
Yep. It's very close.
When he turned into the light being, then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it all really fits together now.
Yeah,
and,
essentially.
Yeah. And at that point, I knew where this was going to end, where, you know, where it's like, and he's gone because he had to use his magic ascended powers.
Well, kind of.
At least at this point, I was closer with my predictions than I was before the episode.
That is true. So back at SGC, I guess later, Carter found a camera in a wall clock. So I guess they forgot one.
Yeah, and Jack's like, huh, yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, and he's like, here's the bottom line. Nobody has seen what you've seen until until that happens. We're all going to think you're nuts. He says that in a very Jack way, as always.
You know, the great thing is, you know, he's always compassionate. The reality is, he's trying to go into the restroom.
Yeah, that is the funny part. He's literally standing in front of a somewhat weird door for a restroom, but I guess they just slapped a restroom sign on the door.
Yeah.
It's not a typical restroom door you would expect. Like, it has a lock and everything. Like, I think in a big facility like that, you would have more standard.
Unless it's the ADA
doors.
Bathroom.
Okay, could be. But it didn't say so. So I guess.
No, it didn't.
He says, Carter says, I'm just saying if the alien had the ability and desire to show himself only to me, it would probably be better if I gathered as much information as I could. Possibly even found a way of isolating it before officially mentioning it again. Right? She wants permission from him.
Yeah, and Jack's like, yeah.
Maybe. And he just goes in the bathroom. Carter goes to her lab, works on activating the weapon. And she explains, I don't know to whom, but maybe to Daniel. She explains that they basically have to overload the reactor and then release it. This I didn't like because it was kind of lazy. It's like, oh yeah, we have to manufacture something dangerous so that at the end something can happen, right? They have to overload the reactor, they release it into the device, and if it's once it started, there's no choice. You have to release the energy or the reactor will explode. I'm like, this was a little bit lazy.
It was way too lazy because at this point, it's like, okay, now we know what happens at the end.
Yeah, exactly. So Daniel has a thought. He's like, by all accounts, this device in 636 is a pretty powerful weapon. Carter's like, you think we should leave it alone? And Jack is like, Daniel's like, well, let's just say I'd feel better if there were someone, if there was someone left to explain how to use it. Yeah, good point. They didn't leave an instruction manual. They didn't leave anybody who knows how it works. So yeah, it's maybe dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as you said, like we know now where this is going to end. How we get there is fun, but you know where it ends.
Yeah.
So Carter comes home to a worried Orlin. Because, like, a good husband, I don't know, boyfriend, something. She said she would be home an hour ago. Stalker. She said she would be home an hour ago, and he prepared dinner. And I'm like, how?
Right. How?
And he explains it, though. He's like, it's possible for my kind to take human form. Actually, retake human form, considering that is the way we started. And I'm like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Jack is at the door. And Orlin, of course, now can't disappear. So she hides him in her office, something, closet. I don't know. She closes the door.
Yeah.
And this was fun.
I did really enjoy this scene.
Yeah. Because it's actually Jack and Teal'c. And Teal'c is a full-on cowboy outfit. Like hat and leather jacket and boots and all of it.
Red bandana around his neck. And Yeah.
And they have pizza and Star Wars. Which Teal'c has seen 9 times and Jack never.
And I love Jack's line about this.
Yeah.
He's like, you know me in sci-fi.
Me in sci-fi. And they want to hang out. And then he figures out, well, she's not alone. And she's like, a date? And she doesn't say, but kind of implies it. So they leave. But they leave the pizza. And he's like, have pizza and fun. And then they're like, okay, what now? And then Teal'c is like, I've read of a place where humans do battle in a ring of jello. And Jack is like, call Daniel.
Yeah.
I'm like, interesting.
I love that whole scene.
I did not guess that Daniel would want to see a fight in a ring of jello. But okay.
This is actually my favorite scene in the whole episode.
Me too. This was fun. So they actually do have dinner, Carter and Orlin. And Carter learned some stuff. She figures out that Omar Dizala, which we kind of expected, was the same kind, same species as Orlin.
Right. And the whole thing of physical form to energy form.
Yeah.
We have seen this previously.
We've seen this before. Yeah. Omar was, and he guesses, he doesn't know her, but he's like, she was probably banished like me. And Carter's like, for what? And he's like, breaking one of the most sacred rules of our kind. Do not accelerate the natural ascension process of those beneath. The humans of Alona were under attack from the Gorwood. We knew that. We suspected that. I was prohibited from interfering, but I couldn't just watch them die. So he taught them how to build the weapon, and it went wrong.
Because, of course.
But she's like, yeah, but it was good. I mean, you saved them. And he's like, yeah, you're wrong. It was a horrible mistake. Shortly after they used the weapon to defend themselves, they started to plan a conquest of other planets using the technology I gave them. So the others destroyed the planet. And as a collective, they decided it was necessary to prevent a disaster that I was responsible for. I was forced to live in Villona after that as my punishment. That is harsh.
That's harsh. And now we know why he spent the last 400 years or whatever alone on that planet.
Yeah. But now he's human. He's mortal, like her. He's like, I can never go back to the way I was without the others. And Carter's like, why would you do this? Like, good question. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he's honest. He's like, I did it as much for myself as for you. And turns and we go outside, and it turns out Carter is still being watched.
Surveillance van.
Yep, surveillance van. So we go back to SGC, to the exposition room. And who is there?
It's Q.
It's Q. I literally wrote down. It's Q. So Simmons is his name, is there. Carter thinks they should, and they're talking about the weapon and should they test it, whatever. Carter thinks they should wait. Right? She's heard the warnings from Orlin. Simmons disagrees, and so does the Pentagon. Then Carter's like, General, I believe that using the device caused an atmospheric weather anomaly big enough to destroy the civilization on 636. That's not entirely true, but okay. Evidence they asked for, and she got none, of course. But Hammond is also smart enough to not dismiss her, right? He's like, you have 2 weeks to bring evidence. Right? And if you do, then we'll stop it. Simmons, of course, is not happy. He's like, General, need I remind you that ultimately the decision rests with the Pentagon? And Hammond is like, Colonel, there's a red phone in my office that only takes calls from one man. The last time I checked, he is the boss of your boss. Or do I need to remind you? Loved it.
I love when Hammond is just like, I'm not taking your crap.
Yeah, I'm not taking your crap. Like, go away. Yeah. So Carter goes back. I guess her workday is done. She comes back to the house. Orlin has made something for her. And he shows it to her.
It's a stone, a gemstone the size of her fist.
Giant emerald. And it's supposedly her birthstone, which is wrong because we know her birthday and the emerald would not be her birthstone. So, bit of a mistake. But I guess it was the writer's mistake. They just didn't remember that they'd already given us, a March birthday for her. He made it. And he's like, you wouldn't believe the things that you can make from the common, simple items lying around your planet. Which reminds me, you're going to need a new microwave.
I did enjoy that line.
That was funny. I was like, yeah, okay, what did he do? I guess he broke the microwave somehow. So the Colonel's like, let's go for a walk. I guess she's kind of like, yeah, maybe outside is better. So they talk about what's going to happen, and she's like, the others will, or Orlin is like, the others will know if the weapon is activated, and they will probably stop them. Many of the creators of the first atom bomb honestly believed it would only be used to maintain peace. I can't take that chance, Sam. I won't be responsible for the demise of another civilization. Yeah, good point.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, and he's like, I thought I had destroyed the weapon, but Carter fixed it.
Yeah, she's pretty clever like
she's
that.
She's clever, right? Yeah, so they have to stop the test. and Corden is like, around that is the whole thing. Why is Carter not reporting him again? Why does she trust him?
Right.
And Orlin has the point. He's like, you haven't turned me in by now, so there must be a reason. And Carter's like, I'd feel bad betraying you. That's all. Nothing more. And Orlin's like, you like me. And Orlin.
And she does. She's like, a little sort of thing.
Yeah. And I think it's true. Yeah, she does like him. I mean, I think, with all his naivety, I think he is a likable person.
Yeah. Now that we've learned more about him, sure.
Yeah.
I do have a problem with Sam.
Not that he's not
Sam.
A stalker anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's still totally a stalker. I do have a problem with Sam saying, I'd feel bad betraying you.
Yeah.
Because...
No, I can see that.
I mean, well, okay, on an emotional level, but she's also still, excuse me, a professional.
Yes.
And she knows her duty. Yes. And she is absolutely neglecting her duty here.
But she had already made that decision way, 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 way earlier than that, right? Because, I mean, when she talked to Jack, she was like, yeah, shouldn't I figure out more before I report him again? And I think that let's call it a little betrayal, because like, yeah, I'll just collect more information, then report him, because then I have proof and they will believe me. And she connected with him, and now it's harder for her to actually do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So I really like that scene. I think it was really cute, those two together. It was doomed, right? We knew that, but...
Of course.
But it was kind of cute. So we go back to Hammond's office. Jack, Hammond, and Simmons are standing around with sour faces, and then Carter comes in. And mm-hmm. apparently the decision has been made. Direct order from the president. They're testing the weapon. So SG-16 and Reynolds are setting up the generator. And Carter's like, but Sarah, you said I would have 2 weeks. It's only been, and Simmons says, 9 days, Major. And I dare you say you haven't spent a single minute of it working on atmospheric weather anomalies. It's true. She hasn't. She's worked on all that. And Sim is like, and she's like, what's that supposed to mean? Sim is like, would you like to explain these deliveries? And she's like, what deliveries? And he starts reading from a report. 100 pounds of raw titanium, 200 feet of fiber optic cable, 7 100,000 watt industrial strength capacitors. The list goes on. All ordered online from your home computer.
And she's like, what?
And she's like,
she's genuinely surprised.
Yeah. And she was at the base at the time, so who accepted the deliveries? Turns out they're watching her. Hammond didn't know, but of course Simmons was the one doing that. Right? I love when John Delancey plays an evil character of some sort. Evil or like morally gray area.
An ambiguous. Yeah, yes, morally ambiguous character.
Yes. And Jack sees something positive. He's like, at least we know there is one now for sure. An alien, he means. And Simmons wants her to tell something. And she's like, Jack's like, she doesn't have to tell you, Scott Major. Major Carter was working with the approval of her superior officer, a.k.a. Jack. She mm-hmm. told me he was there. I authorized her to collect as much information as possible. Yeah, it didn't exactly turn out that way, but we can interpret it that way.
Sure. You know, like Obi-Wan Kenobi says, from a certain point of view.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they did talk about it, and Jack didn't stop her, so that you could take his approval.
Mm-hmm.
But Simon is like, as we speak, a team of special forces are surrounding her house, again, a gas leak, I guess, and on my command, they're going to go in and take that alien into custody.
Right. So this time, apparently, it's an armed gas leak.
It's an armed gas leak, yes. So they have to go. They go to the house. Jack, Carter, Simmons arrive. Orlin hasn't responded, and Jack suggests to send Carter in and convince Orlin to surrender, which, yeah, that's probably a good idea because, I mean, we don't know what he can do.
Yeah, and the likelihood that her house will still be standing afterwards if she doesn't go in first is pretty low.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, they know that he's a ascended alien, like Omar Isala, because that they know. They watched her, right? They go inside. It's dark and he's in the basement and he has rewired the house. So something needs a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And what is it? It's a mini Stargate.
And I love this.
I love this
prop set piece, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
it is a really nicely designed piece.
Yeah, and it was an actual miniature Stargate model, so custom fabrication to match the full scale like Stargate's appearance. So properly built. Someone had a lot of fun building this.
Oh, I'm sure.
Tell you that. So Orlin is like, to Carter, this won't dial multiple addresses and it will only create a wormhole once and probably burn out. He's also
so it's
like
a burner phone, but for Stargate.
Burner Stargate. And he ordered all the stuff online. He's like, sorry, but you're going to have a pretty big credit card bill. And I'm like, biggest probably understatement. What's her credits that she can buy all of this shit?
Right.
And he's like, oh, and you're going to need a new toaster.
I love that. Oh, and you're going to need a new jokes that we got in this episode.
Yes. He tapped into the main power line. Hopefully he'll be able to draw enough energy. And then he will go to Villona, stop the people from using the weapon. One thing I didn't understand is why doesn't like the people from the outside are calling her and she doesn't even respond.
Right.
I would have been like, okay, if I want to play for time, I would respond, be like, oh yeah, give me a second. I'm trying, I'm talking, blah, blah, blah. And like, just, but she didn't even respond. So as a result, they're coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know from the script why they wanted to do that, but I'm like, this makes no sense. So the gate actually works. Mini Kavush and all. I like that. It's a mini Kavush.
I really liked the whole effect.
Yeah, it's really cute. I want a Stargate like that in my basement, and then I want to go to another planet with it. Even if it burns out after.
Well, I mean, I'm looking around right now, and, you know, a one-way Stargate at this point.
Yeah.
Actually sounds kind of enticing.
Exactly. You can go to another planet and there's a Stargate. We know that. And then you can go to other planets from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So Orlan is like, I was really hoping there would be another way. You know how I feel about you. I hope this isn't goodbye. And he jumps through. And as the team is breaking into the basement, the gate powers down and...
There's no one in the room.
No Carter.
Yeah, so Carter's gone too.
Yeah, we didn't see that he followed her, but I guess she decided.
Well, her body language after he jumped through tells us that
she was considering
about going through.
Yeah, she was seriously considering it. So on Villona, the weather is going bad. Clear indication mm-hmm. that the others are there. Carter is there. I think he mentioned somewhere that manipulating weather is super easy if you ascend it, by the way.
Oh, yes, he did say that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The weapon is powering up, so the generator's already running, hooked up, and charging, so it's too late. Mm-hmm. Orlan starts fighting with SG-16.
Right, because they're trying to stop him from getting to the to the weapon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Carter steps in and she's like, Colonel, please lower your weapons. He has a good reason to want to stop this test. But it's too late because, as she said earlier, your instructions specifically said that once we started the energy buildup, we could not abort the reactor or the reactor will blow. Which Orlan is like, good, the weapon will be destroyed. Which he should have done a long time ago, but
mm-hmm.
he thought he did. So what does he do? He dives for the cable to disconnect it, and Reynolds, of course, shoots him, because that's his job.
Mm-hmm.
And as Carter is with him, he's like, Carter is like, I can't believe how much this hurts. And he's like, what do you expect?
Well, it's like the first time ever in any TV show, practically, that someone addresses the whole... It hurts when you get shot thing.
It's true, yes. Yeah, so they're like, okay, what should we do? Should we dial back out? And Carter's like, no, because she's not sure if she can disconnect again, and they cannot risk that weapon or whatever happens endangering Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Orlan is like, I have to go, Sam. They've given me another chance. It's the only way I can save you. Because, they're all going to die. The thing is going to blow and they're all going to die.
Yeah, and he told us earlier in the episode that he can ascend again with the help of the
others. But only if the others,
who we know are there.
Yes, so that's the end. I mean, the predictable end. He turns into an energy being and takes the generator away. And we see a bright flash in the sky. And then we see a lightning strike, which was probably either him or the others, finally destroying the weapon. And then all of a sudden, the sky clears up because, of course, leaving Carter behind alone. The end. Fade to black. So, that is the episode. Before we talk about it, I want to briefly go back to your predictions.
Okay.
because you had talked about the tollens and all of that, and of course that was completely wrong. There was also no Tok'ra. So unfortunately, this time around, you were completely wrong. There was not a single thing that you got right.
No, there's no way to even very generously stretch this to say, well, you got the one element right. No, I got nothing right on this
one. None of them. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? Did you enjoy the episode? Did you not?
No, I enjoyed it. There were elements that I really enjoyed, like my favorite scene.
Yeah.
The whole cowboy Teal'c.
Cowboy Teal'c, yeah.
And
at least Teal'c got to do something.
Yeah, but you know, so little that I had almost forgotten he was in the episode.
Yes.
So there's little bits in here that I really enjoyed. I had a real problem with Sam and Orlin relationship through the entire episode.
And it was problematic, and I think that was the point.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I hadn't thought about it being the point, and I probably should have.
He is very, very immature in what, like how humans would behave, right? And makes sense because he's not been a human for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I think Carter gets charmed by him, and he is charming. I don't think there was ever a serious anything.
I agree. Yeah, there's never a serious anything, but nonetheless, the relationship. And the way they portrayed it, the way they wrote it, it just wasn't clicking for me.
Mm. Okay. I don't think
the mini Stargate.
I don't think it was supposed to click. I think that was the whole point. Like, it was never supposed to click because it was supposed to be doomed and supposed to be. I think the point was she was supposed to be charmed enough to care about him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Never that deeply, right? It was more he's an alien, he's kind of lost. I'll help him. I'll prevent the weapon from being used.
I was seeing that, and I was picking up on the vibe that in many ways this would be like, here's a poor analogy. You are, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
And you encounter someone who's just completely lost and you just take them under your wing and you help them.
Yeah.
And maybe they're socially awkward, like Orlin.
Yeah, he is.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might be charmed by him a little bit because he is so socially awkward.
And you help them out.
Yeah.
But it's not like that became a romantic commitment or anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, I was getting that vibe. But just, nonetheless, there was, I don't know, there's something about the way they wrote the whole relationship thing. Part of it wasn't working for me.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. I think, I mean, it's as much as I'm trying to defend it a little bit, but more because I want to balance it out. I think I remember the story, and I remember Orlin, and it's an interesting storyline. So it's memorable in that way, but I never thought it was that, in the grand scheme of things, that important or interesting. It's a fun filler story, maybe, like a one-off filler.
Yes. And I did enjoy seeing John DeLancey. He's always great in the roles that I see him in
so far. I'll tell you, he comes back.
That makes me happy to hear.
he's that little bit. I mean, he's not. You don't see that much of him, but he comes back. So,
but I am disappointed.
Yeah.
By the mini Stargate thing, because I am deducing from the fact that you said this is a one-off prop, that we don't get storylines down the road where they're experimenting with what's left of his destroyed mini Stargate, which would be really cool to see them like experimenting, making tactical stargates.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that that prop in that way was never used. But what else could happen? You never know.
Okay, now here's the best part about what you just did. Yeah. And this reinforces why if I were a poker player, I would never play poker with you. Because your delivery does not tell me that they actually do something along the lines of what I was just suggesting. But it does not tell me. It tells me nothing.
Good.
That's ultimately, it just tells me
that's
nothing.
The point. I don't want to tell you anything.
I mean, anyone else delivering what you just told me, I would be able to ferret so much out of that. And yet I can't. And this is one of the awesome things about you. Also, I will never play poker with you.
You're welcome. No, you shouldn't. We should talk about chevrons. I think we've talked about this episode. I'm not sure if there's more to talk about. We should do chevrons.
I'm totally fine moving on to chevrons. And I'll be straight up with you. I'm always honest with you.
Yes.
I've really been having a hard time deciding what my rating is for this.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Because there are things that I really like in the episode.
Yeah.
There's things that I don't like in the episode.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, this one ends up being a 5 for me.
I knew it. I was just thinking about it. And I'm like, Def's going to give it a 5.
You know me pretty well.
Yes. No, it's also what you just said, right? It's not a bad episode. It's not a, amazing, great episode. It's kind of a middle of the ground, interesting, but interesting episode. And that's usually a 5 or, if you're generous, a 6. And I will follow you on that one because I think, I of course know what else is going to happen and will anything come out of this and will there be a follow-up or not and like all of that. Like I know a lot more. But I also think this episode has, as you said, quite a few flaws. And it's just, as much as I want to like Orlin and as much as I want to understand him and as much as I try to play the other side of the story while you were pushing and saying this is kind of a problem, I actually do agree with you that there is a lot of, from the writing perspective, problematic things. It's not the actor. Yeah. I think he did a good job. The story is fine, but there's some things in the writing where I'm like, not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what they wanted to do, but there were also a couple lazy shortcuts where I'm like, I know they had to go from here to here, so this is how they did it. Or they had to wrap it up real quick, so this is how they did it. I'm like, okay, I got it. So 5. I think we're for once in agreement.
Yeah, and now that we've been through the whole episode, and you told me that John Delancey's character comes back, I'm feeling like the best part of this episode overall is the fact that they introduced John Delancey's character.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't. I mean, I'm telling you that now, but you didn't know when you were watching.
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah.
Without knowing that bit of information, the best part of the episode is Jack and Teal'c showing up at Sam's house with a pizza and the whole. I mean, Teal'c in the ridiculous cowboy outfit.
Oh, that was funny.
The joke about O'Neill not being into sci-fi. And
yes. he's not into sci-fi. Good. That means we get to the all-important thing where you can now let your brain run free and completely get wrong what the next episode will be about.
Oh, I can't wait to see how wrong I am.
So, the episode was written by our dynamic duo, Joseph Malozzi, Paul Molly. It's directed by Peter DeLuise. It has a IMDb rating. Okay, if I had put that, I would tell you. It has an IMDb rating of 7.5, so about the same.
Okay.
As this one. And the title is The Fifth Man.
Huh. All right.
And I'm going to tell you the German title this time because it's Der fünfte Mann, The Fifth Man.
All right. In that case, this may tell me more.
No,
than,
it doesn't.
Than,
no. Because, I mean, we saw in this episode that it goes completely nonsense. So,
all right. Here's my prediction.
Yeah.
SG-1, they go on a mission, but it's a specialized mission of some sort that requires someone that that's not part of their team. So they end up with the fifth person on this team. And that person, now we know, is a guy, mm-hmm. because it's the fifth man.
Yeah.
And because of that person's presence, it creates a major problem where they have to ultimately abort their mission and try to escape. And it could be that this person, maybe they're a double agent, or maybe they're reckless in some way, or I don't know, but whatever it is, that extra person on their team ultimately is the catalyst for the threat that endangers all of them.
Okay, he's the catalyst of the threat that leads to the abortion, right? To
yes.
the aborted mission. Okay, good. Written down. We'll see what you think once you've watched The Fifth Man.
And I expect that I'm going to be so fundamentally wrong. The part that I know I got right in this is that our core SG-1 team is in the episode.
Well, okay. I mean, that's kind of usually obvious. I don't think we've had an episode where the core team was not in.
We had an episode where Michael Shanks was pretty much just not in the episode.
Well, that has happened, but the rest of the team was there, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that has happened.
I think we'll have our entire core team.
Yeah, I think that's probably a safe bet. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what the fifth man really is. I want to mention there's some stuff going on, and I've tried to figure out when to mention that. We're probably mm-hmm. a couple episodes away, but there will be something that happens outside. I mean, we know that September 11th is happening soon, right? Because we're the release date was in, right now we're in July, but at some point we'll go past that, where there's the episode that was released on around that time, and also mm-hmm. what did they produce around that time, right? But there's other stuff going on right now, and we'll talk about it. And I've tried to figure it out when to mention it, and probably a couple episodes away, so that. But I wanted to mention that because I don't know exactly when it happened. There's not enough information, so I picked the date.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be around episode 10, 12, something like that.
Okay. Well, I trust your judgment.
Yeah. Just want to mention, I did a lot of research recently to see if there's any sources or anything. So if someone has more information in the background, let me know. Like, I think anybody who knows Stargate knows what I'm talking about, because it's, of course, in the past. So you don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
yeah, and everyone,
it's there's interesting stuff happening.
Cool. Okay. And everyone, all of you beautiful, wonderful listeners, thank you for not spoiling things for
me.
Yeah. You all rock. I appreciate that.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. But I want simply to say also, there is now, as we are watching this, as they're producing these episodes, there is probably in the background already stuff going on. It's just not known yet, I think, to most of the cast, and thus I didn't want to mention it for us.
Okay.
But there's already stuff working and happening. So
well,
it's coming.
Okay. I like that they're doing long-term planning with this show.
Yeah, I mean, and we have the 100th episode coming up as episode 12 of this season.
Oh, that's right. episode. Yeah, the 100th episode of the show is coming up soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've already had our 100th episode, but they will have soon their 100th episode, which is a fun one. As I said, around that time, I'll probably mention a couple things that are happening because they probably did happen around that time. But they are, as we are now in episode 4 soon, this was 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that stuff was already starting in the background.
I mean, whatever it is, that makes sense because they're.
It doesn't happen always, one day to another.
Yeah. And there's, and they're recording episodes and planning for episodes down the road.
Yes.
So, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, I just felt like that was something appropriate to talk about in the in this third episode. Yeah. So we'll come back here for the fourth and so on. There's definitely some fun stuff happening this season that I'm very much looking forward to.
Well, I'm looking forward to this whole season. I mean, we've already talked about how we're raising our bar because they're raising their bar.
Yes.
And I mean, this episode in season 1, I probably would have been a lot more forgiving.
Oh, yes. You would have been like, oh, cool, this is a good story. Because comparatively, this was a good story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not to say I didn't enjoy season 1. But
no,
it's a lot better now than it was then.
They've grown, simply, right? That's also true. The writers and the team grow. They learn how to do things. They learn how to better write for people and produce certain things and do more, right? To figure out to work within the budget better or have more budget available. So not in this case, but sometimes they also get extra budget available. But usually they just work out how to use it more effectively.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Or they have sets already available that then makes it cheaper for them and they can do with that money that they would have needed to build a set, they can do other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like build a mini Stargate, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
I hope someone managed to ferret that away instead of just tearing it apart.
I really do hope so.
I mean, the reality is it was probably torn apart and pieces were reused in other things.
That's most likely. But yeah, if not, I mean, MGM did auction off a lot of their stuff, but I've not heard anything about this one.
Well, we do have some nice angles for shots on that Stargate, and we actually get it from both sides.
Yes, we do.
So I'm betting there are people that have built their own
life-size
mini Stargates.
Oh yeah,
that are pretty accurate.
There's tons of people who've done that. Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it is popular, right? The full-size Stargate is sometimes very big, but the small one you can do in your backyard or in your basement or garage or something. Like, it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is places that have even full-size Stargates, but that's rare.
Yeah, and so, of course, I just typed a search for mini Stargate. And now, granted, pretty much everything I'm looking at, it's a miniature of the full-size Stargate. I mean,
there is that as well.
But the stuff people are making is amazing.
Yeah, there's that as well, of course. Yeah, okay. We should wrap up and before we go down a rabbit hole of mini Stargates now.
Yes.
So, we just talked in the beginning about your merch and the cool Pride Borbs that you have and the awesome t-shirt that people can't see. But if they want to see it, if they want to buy it, and you have other cool things like the pair I really like, the spaceship that you have drawn is also really, really cool, I have to say.
Oh, thank you.
Where can people go find that and where they can find other stuff from you?
Well, okay, so all of that stuff, jeffgamet.com/merch.
Nice. Good.
And then that will just take you right to my my online store.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on adding in more stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's all awesome.
Whatever you see as you're looking at the store right now, there will be even more later, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. Check back frequently because there might be new cool things that Jeff
has. Yeah. And I did order.
You can own an original Jeff Gamet, just saying.
You can, yeah. Now, I did buy the shirt myself after I got it all set up because I needed to see what it looked like.
Yeah.
And I was so happy with how it turned out.
Yes.
And, it looks really cool. And every time I've worn it out, people have commented on it about how cool they think it is.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like great validation. But yes. Anyhow, go get your own. And I'm looking forward to running into people, and we're both wearing our Pride Borb shirts. And a board is a bird that is chunky enough that it's just like round.
It's a board.
You know, it's like an orb shaped bird.
Yeah.
A Borb.
They're cool. A Borb. I like it. Yeah. And then jeffgammett.com, of course, is
right.
The website. The context right. machine.
Context machine, and I'll pick another show. In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg show, which by the way recently had its 10-year anniversary.
Wow, yeah, we're far away from that.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been doing this for a while, like 2 years almost.
Yeah, and we have over 100 episodes.
Yeah, it should be 2 years.
Most shows don't make it past 10.
That's true. Yeah, we've done 100 and a couple now. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Me, I'm on the Tech Hangout every Friday with you, or if you're available, with some other fun people, like from the old gang from British Tech Network joins me. We talk about tech. It's always fun. We have a spirited discussion about things like, I don't know, buses in Kansas City and whether they should surveil you.
I remember that discussion.
That was a fun discussion. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. I don't have a merch store, but I do have podcasts, I have projects, I have cool things there. There's an entire page with all the cool things I've picked if you're looking for anything worth checking out. And the social media links, of course, that are also there. And
well, how about our show then?
Yeah, speaking of social media links, we, of course, also have social media. We have Mastodon. It's at RetroRewatch at techhangout.social. We have Blue Sky. It's RetroRewatch.com. And we have, of course, an email address if you want. It's hello@RetroRewatch.com. Send us messages there.
Excellent.
Yeah. Instead, and if I come up with some punny email addresses, then I'll register them.
Excellent.
There's some stuff from Jack that I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And I think that's it. We're done for today. We should jump through the one-shot mini Stargate to another planet to prevent the weapon from exploding.
Right. And hopefully my couch and TV are on that other planet so I can watch.
Yes, you can watch The Fifth Man. Yes, exactly. All right. See you soon.
Bye, everyone.